Lord Jesus, I pray that you take away any distractions from your word today and let your message come forth to each and every one of us and change our lives. Jesus, we give you all the glory and all the honor in your name. In your name we pray, in the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. At this time, the children can be dismissed to junior church. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. You do presenter's view. Idle tale or living reality. I want to talk to you today about the power of God's resurrection, but in this instant of Scripture that I read already earlier, we have the women coming to the disciples and saying, "He's gone, he's not there, he's risen," and telling the whole story as it happened, as it came about. And the disciples said, "That's just an idle tale. A bunch of gossiping women, they don't know what they're talking about. They maybe didn't sleep the night before," which they probably didn't, because they followed all the way to the cross and watched the events all the way to the burial. And you can imagine what was going on in their minds. These were the women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, that were with Jesus throughout his ministry. In fact, it says in an earlier passage of Scripture that they supported Jesus' ministry. So they were givers in his ministry. They perhaps supported financially. And the woman that had been demonized was set free by Jesus. And they've had dark paths, but set free by Jesus. And they come to the tomb and they go and tell the disciple, and they said, "Well, that's nonsense." And you might say, you know, man, if I would have saw the angels that they saw, I would definitely believe. But probably not. Because like other humans, we all have the same nature. We don't always believe. We might believe in our heads, but not believing enough in the point that it changes our lives. And when we come to this passage of Scripture, is it all set? Okay, thank you so much. Sometimes technology deficient. I first of all want to bring up this morning, people who view the resurrection as a living reality look for the kingdom of God. And I want us to focus on those beginning verses in chapter 23 that we read about the man Joseph of Arimathea. Now, just to kind of give you a little bit of a backdrop, he was on the council of the religious leaders, and it says in the Scripture that he didn't consent to his death. So it was him against all the rest, basically. And it says also in other passages that in John 19, that he was a secret disciple or follower of Jesus. Because of his position, he had to keep quiet about it, but it came to this point that it was no more. And if we're to view the resurrection as a real reality in our lives, we have to look for the kingdom of God. We have to look for Christ to come and change our lives. And a lot of times I've heard people even say to the point of, "Well, I'm here, God knows where to find me, right?" Or, "I've kind of just been sitting around, just been, you know," but the kingdom of God comes to those that look for it. We see in the beginning of the Gospels when Anna and Simon were in the temple praying, waiting for the Jesus to come, the Messiah to come. And then when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus as the boy to the temple, they saw and they rejoiced. This is the kind of righteousness that they had. A similar example as to Elizabeth and Simeon. This is what they do. They were people that were willing to do what's right for the kingdom of God. Martin Luther King Jr. says a quote, "The time is always right to do what is right." Now picture Joseph in this position that he was in. He was going to be outed. He outed himself basically as a follower of Jesus. Why? Because he had to go straight to the Pilate and ask for Jesus' body. And he put Jesus' body in his own tomb. And when we come to this place, we have to come with expectancy. And I want to ask you, don't answer this out loud this morning. I don't know why you're here today. Some of us are here to worship. Some of us might be here because we're curious. Some of us might be here just because it's Resurrection Sunday. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But what is it that you expect from God today? Are you expectant? Are you looking for the kingdom of God? Because God's kingdom is here through Jesus Christ. But we have to be looking with our eyes and come with expectancy. And the word is that we have to open our eyes and we have to begin to look for Him. And I'm saying, when we come to look for Him, we have to lay down our own opinions. We have to lay down our own excuses. But tomorrow, next year, I kind of believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to give my whole life over to Him. I'm just going to give Him part of it. Well, I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old, and it makes no difference to me today. But if you are coming with expectancy, it will make a difference. As we're going to see in a moment as we work through this tomb, Jesus still does change lives. Contrary to pop psychology sermons today about just trying to make yourself feel good, there is true resurrection power. He suffered as the Lamb of God and rose from the grave. Joseph decided to become a public follower of Jesus. He went and asked for the body of Jesus, and it was the day of preparation. And that was the day. I saw that when I was in Israel this year, the day of preparation, when they were getting prepared for the Sabbath. Everybody was kind of gathering in the square, and the Sabbath begins on Friday at sundown. And they get all their stuff ready, and they get ready to go worship, and they go down to the synagogues and the temple to worship God. And that was this day. So he had to quick and say, "I'm going to go ask for the burial," because the Sabbath, they're not allowed to do any work. It's a day of rest to honor God. And so that would be Saturday. It's a day of rest. It's a day that God has given us. It's in sync with all of creation. And so he goes and he does that. But secondly, people who experience the resurrection as a living reality don't dwell in the grave. Now, look at what it says in verse 55. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb. And so what did they do? Now, these were the women who were with Jesus. These were the women who heard over and over again, Jesus told them, what did he say? The Son of Man must suffer and on the third day rise again from the grave. That's what he told all of his disciples over and over and over again in the passages of Scripture. But people who experience the resurrection as a living reality don't dwell in the grave. They were still focused on death. They were getting all their ointments ready, and they were like, they're going down and expecting a dead body to be there. You know, when we come to Jesus, He invites us, as He's risen from the dead, to take off our old grave clothes. Perhaps you might be here today and you maybe honor Jesus as a good moral teacher. You say, He's a great guy. And perhaps where they were at, He was a good master. We followed Him for 3 years in His ministry. Now He's dead. So let's anoint Him and let's honor Him. But had she forgotten that in some earlier passages of Scripture that she comes and she anoints Jesus' feet with oil, and the disciple Judas, wanted to stop her and said, why didn't she sell this expensive ointment and put it in the offering? And Judas said that because he was greedy and he had charge of the money, and so he wanted to have the money from that perfume. Jesus said, leave her alone. She is preparing me for my burial. But he was alive then, right? He is a living Lord. He prefers us to come and anoint and worship Him as the living Savior, not as the one who is dead, but the one who is alive. And you know, the reason why I'm talking about this and bringing this out is because we, even though it's not necessarily in our beliefs, we believe Jesus is alive, but we are still living like He's dead. We come maybe once a year to pay homage to Him as a He's the risen Savior. But, oh no, not my life, the rest of the life. Not my life for the rest of the days of the year. He's a living Lord, and if He's living, He wants such an intimate relationship with you and I. He loves you. He loves you so much that He didn't just come to be this political figure. He didn't just come to be this moral teacher. He came to be your Savior, and He came to ask you to open up the doors of your heart and to allow Him to come in and invade your life. I love that picture of the anointing oil that Jesus approved of. And you know what He said? He said, everywhere where the gospel is preached, this woman's going to be remembered for what He did, or what she did. But then they try to come and anoint Him when He was dead. And then you have the angels coming and saying, He's not here. Why are you looking in all the wrong places? You know, and they were fretting. In actually, in Mark chapter 16, verse 3, Mary Magdalene was worrying, and they were all talking together and said, well, who's going to move this big stone? This is a stone that's an example of what probably it was like. And I don't think any one person in here, because when they roll the stone, it goes into this little gully-like area. And so it's in there, and it takes a lot of force to get that out of there. And so these women come, and they're wondering, how are we going to get to move the stone? Well, maybe the soldiers will be kind enough to do it for us, or maybe there's going to be a donkey or a horse around there that we can pull it away. They were fretting, but really what it comes down to is that they did not pay attention to what Jesus said. That said, I'm going to be in the grave in 3 days. I'm going to rise because He is the living Savior. How many times in our life have we fretted to trying to work out our own problems in our lives? Well, I want to do religion in the way I want to do it. I've crafted Jesus is an idol in the way that I want, that makes me feel comfortable, and that's it. He only gets a fraction of my life, but the rest of it I want to live how I want. It leads to a lot of fret. And then in John 20, verse 13, this same Mary Magdalene that was in this passage had some personal assumptions. When Jesus appeared to her after the angels, in that text it gives a little bit more detail of what went on there. She said, when Jesus appeared, she didn't recognize Him at first. And she said, they've stolen. They've taken the body of my Lord. And I'm out here weeping and crying. He's gone. How many times have we assumed and made up our own theories in religion based on what we think or feel rather than what the Word of God says? And furthermore, it gets worse, because look in verse 4 of chapter 24, Luke. He said, while they were perplexed about this, and that's a strong word there. That means to be completely without resources, to be in dire straits, to be left wanting, to doubt, not knowing where to turn. It's to be at a total loss. This morning, have you ever been in the place of this baby at a total loss? I've tried to get this area of my life straightened out. I just can't do it. I want to do what's right. I want to give my life to Jesus, but I'm lost. That's the place that these women were. when they came to the grave and found that it was empty, they were so confused. They were so worked up. They were so upset because there's like, what in the world had they remembered what Jesus said? They were perplexed at a total loss. You know, those angels come, and I'm praying this morning that God will come to visit you in a special way today. Because it says when they came with their dazzling robes, their dazzling clothes, that was the same word that was used when Jesus was on the mountain and He was transfigured and the glory shone around Him. The very weightiness and the glory of heaven appear. And God wants to appear to you today through the words of this text, through the truth that is preaching, for you to experience the resurrected Savior. People experience the resurrection as a living reality, believe the whole Word of God. They are people of the Bible. Look in verse 4. It says, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen. Remember how He told you while He was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise. In verse 8 it says, and they remembered the words. People who experience the resurrection as a living reality believe the whole Word of God, and they are people of the Bible. Now, as we look at the Scriptures today, in your notes, the first part of remembering God's Word is that I want you to know that the resurrection of Jesus is inseparable from the prophecies of Scripture. And I gave you those prophecies where Jesus said and told them over and over again, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. Furthermore, in Psalm 16, there's prophecies in the Old Testament as well. The resurrection of Jesus. When we come to 1 Corinthians 15, and if you haven't memorized that, I would encourage you to do that. It says, brothers, I want to remind you of what's of first importance, that Christ died for your sins, that He was buried, and He rose again. But it says, according to the Scriptures. Because what's wrong with it if it's not according to the Scriptures? It's what? We don't even know if it's right or wrong. I mean, what is the basis for what we believe, what we believe? What is the basis that we believe the resurrection from the dead, that Jesus really, truly did rise from the dead? We have an account and a record of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. It's the Word of God tied from the Old Testament to New, that God has preserved. It is without error. But you know, if we try to say our beliefs without connecting them with the Word of God, and we're not people of the Word, we're just pulling stuff out of our hat. We are just making stuff up. What's the basis of your authority? When I was in Bible college and at Moody, we were talking about dealing with different cults and false religions and false beliefs, and one of the things that they told us that we should do is go to the authority. Find out what is their authority. Why do they believe what they believe? So, you know, you go to the Mormons and in the Book of Mormon, well, they believe what they believe based on this prophet who made a lot of false prophets. So he's their authority. And then the modern day prophets they have is their authority. Any cult, any religion, you find out where they get validation for what they believe. Now, if this Bible is not true, then we might as well go home. We have no reason to be here. But after studying this thing for years, and I want to encourage you to study it yourself, the disciples were with the living Word, but yet they missed it. They believed, but they didn't believe. It didn't go into their lives. They were fake Christians, if you will. And there's a lot of fake Christians, and the reason why I'm talking about this today is I want to warn you, because the judgment of God is coming. He's going to judge every single one of us for our sins and the choices we make in our life. Well, Pastor Mike, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear the power of positive thinking. But as bad, as awful as our sin is today, God's love is so much greater that He sent Jesus to stretch out His arms. I mean, I couldn't get through that song that Jennifer sang without crying today. Because of the depth of the love of Jesus Christ. Do you realize the depth of His love? We have to be people of the book. Now, have anybody ever been depressed or confused before? I remember different times where I told my wife, I said, you know, I really need a new brain. This one's a little messed up. It's a little twirled around in a lot of ways. It's confused at times, and it leads me to do things and things that I don't really want to do in my life. But the Word of God makes sense of everything. They were confused about the resurrection, but about that time when the angels reminded them. And then if you read on in chapter 24, when Jesus meets with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, He explains everything from the Old Testament all the way to New, showing them that He's the Messiah. Then it clicked. The Word of God, despite what people are saying today, is the only thing that's going to straighten up our messed up little pea brains. We think that we have it right. But we start getting to God's Word, I can tell you the relief that I felt time and time again. Because when I've been confused, when I've been lost, when I've done messed things up in my life, I come and find the great love and the forgiveness of God. And it's almost like, you know, you stick this in and it reprograms the mind the way it's meant to be. That's why He says, renew the mind. And if we don't get into the Word, our minds are not going to be renewed. And if we don't love the Word of God, chances are we probably don't have a relationship with God and we may not be saved. But the Word of God makes sense of everything. It's inerrant, it's authority. And so, you know, I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and they said, you know, and it's the kind of person that goes from revival to revival, and we pray and worship, but I just feel like God's going to do something great in our midst. I want to pray God's going to do something great. I'm just praying and the Lord's going to do something great. And I kind of got in a nice way in a conversation. I said, well, God's given us a great commission and He told us to make disciples. So that's the basic of the Word. Are you doing that? Who are you discipling right now? I kind of brought it in that. See, the thing is, if we don't obey the simple things of the Word of God, we're going to be lost like the disciples because we're worrying about what we don't know. Sometimes we worry about the things in this big book that we don't know to the point that we forget the things that we do know, like simple obedience to our Savior. Like if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're the righteousness of God, that we would live holy as He is holy. Like the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as believers in Jesus Christ. That's a simple command in Scripture, that we would gather together to learn from the Word of God. So, here's the thing. I can't make any more excuses, so now you can't either. Because obey what you do know instead of obsessing about what you don't know. We can get in theological debates about when Jesus is going to come back or this or that, and we might have some apparent that we look through the Bible and you say, well, that's a contradiction. The Bible has errors. You haven't put enough time in studying the Word of God if you come to those kinds of conclusions. You've come to the Word of God with your own beliefs and you've looked and looked and looked until you found something, a loophole, and then you say, oh yeah, see there, it's not true, so I don't have to follow Christ. You haven't studied enough. Because I can tell you that there is no other book in the universe that is such unity. And every archaeological dig that they find has only proven this Word to be accurate over and over and over again. And that not only that, the experience that people have in their lives by being changed by the Word of God is such a powerful, powerful thing. But we have to submit to God's Word. Now, Sandy didn't know that she gave me something wonderful this morning. She gave me a round to it. Everybody see this? Round to it. Round to it. Round to it. Round to it. Oh, now you can see it. Okay. Yeah. This is how most of us live our Christian life, or even our lives. Well, one day I'll get around to it. One day I'll get around to obeying God's Word. One day I'll get around to treating this thing seriously in my life. Right now, I want to do things my own way. It's time to chuck our round to it away. Josh, I won't hit you. Amen. Get rid of the round to it and get into it. Because God has so much treasure in life for each and every one of us. I love these quotes. One is like so many of us, they had heard, but yet not heard God's Word. They never bothered to think that Jesus really meant what He said. This problem comes for especially people that grow up in the church and have religion as a part of their lives. I mean, it's like we're so familiar with it, and we heard it, but we haven't heard it because it hasn't changed our lives. We know about Jesus, but we haven't welcomed Him in and experienced Him in our lives. And if anything, I feel, I've been reading through a magazine on Billy Graham's life, and he was a man that I always wanted to meet, but now he's present with the Lord and all those years of ministry that he served before God. But he was a man who just said, you know what, I'm going to follow the Word of God no matter what, and I'm going to preach the Word of God. And he preached the uncompromising gospel. And, you know, that really strengthened and encouraged me this morning to say, you know what, I'm going to have to answer to God when I get to heaven what I told all of you every Sunday morning. And if I make you feel like you're saved when you're really not, if I make you feel like, well, you know about Jesus, but you haven't experienced Him in your life, that's what I'll answer to God for. So I want to tell you today, Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with you, and it's found by getting into His Word and by receiving Him as not only a figure or a political figure or a moral figure, but as Lord, as Master, as the one who rules our life, every part of it. Mark Twain says, it's not what I don't understand about the Bible that bothers me, it's what I do understand. And I like that. Don't worry about what you don't understand, but worry about what you do know about. So last of all, people who experience the resurrection as a living reality come out of the grave and tell the world. I love this beautiful picture. The women go and they were living in this death realm. The angels appear with the glory of God. And they reminded and they believed. And they go back and they tell the disciples, and yet what do they say? The disciples say, it's just an idle tale. You're babbling women. You didn't get enough sleep last night. But they went and told anyway. If you believe, you will come out of the grave as a glorious witness for Jesus Christ. You may not be like Billy Graham and speak in front of thousands of people, but you may just be like Joseph of Arimathea, who went and came out of his secrecy to get the body of the Lord and put Him in the grave. So the Scriptures are fulfilled. I don't know what your purpose and plan is in God's plan, but nevertheless, He's called you to come out and be bold and be a bold witness for the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I want to ask you, it's interesting in other passages of Scripture, like in John 20, verse 8 and 9, when it's talking about the disciples, they understood, but they didn't understand. They believed, but they did not believe. Do you know that demons, Satan's angels that are around the earth in the spiritual realm, they believe in Jesus. They believe He resurrected from the dead. But the difference is they don't understand. They have not come to an experience, a relationship with Him. And perhaps maybe that's the case with you. If you're here today and you grew up in the church, or you know about Christ, and you haven't experienced Him to the point that it changes your life, the Word of God warns us. And I want to close with this passage of Scripture. If you believe, you won't just wonder like Peter did. Peter ran all the way to the tomb. Another passage, it says he went with another disciple. That disciple outran him, and he comes to the edge. But Peter goes inside. He said, well, I guess what they said was true. The tomb's empty, but it says in John that they still didn't believe. Peter wondered about it, but he didn't really believe yet. But he will. Now listen to the Scripture. Please, if you forget everything that was spoken this morning, I beg you and entreat you by the love and the mercy of God to look on these words. Paul says, now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So there's a lot of people that don't really believe. They believe in vain, and they live their whole Christian life knowing about the things of God, but they never really experience, and it's not real in their everyday life. They're not following Jesus. They're not getting into the Word of God. They're not experiencing the love and the joy of what it is to wake up and have that intimacy with Him. It's like, I'm doing things my own way. He says, for I delivered to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. There's a lot of people that say that the disciples stole the body and made this whole thing up, but as we could see in the Scripture, they didn't believe at first. So if they're doing a hoax, why would they not believe the thing at first? Until they saw the resurrected Lord. And Jesus was seen by over 500 witnesses. It wasn't just a secret little thing. And it wasn't just a few people that were off their bonkers, out of their minds. He really did rise again from the grave. And so I want to ask you today, if you're here and you have not waved the white flag of surrender and say, Jesus, I want you to be the master of my life. You are the resurrected Christ. I'm done with this religious thing. I'm done with the excuses. I'm going to ask if the worship team can come now. I want to ask you this morning, if you're in that place, Jesus says to repent and to believe. Believe is living, and you can't stay in the grave. I want to invite you to come out of the grave this morning, to repent and to believe that Jesus Christ really did raise from the dead, and invite Him to come in your life as a personal relationship, confessing that He died, He was buried, and He rose again. And don't forget that part, according to the Scriptures. Because if it's not according to the Scriptures, it's not the true Savior. And maybe you're here today as a believer. You have believed in Jesus, but you're still living in the grave. You're obsessed with death. You're obsessed with your old grave clothes of sin. You're stuck there. Jesus Christ invites you this morning to come out. Come out of your grave clothes. Come out of your addictions. Come out of what's holding you back in your life and say, Jesus, yes, I'm going to live in the righteousness You've given me. I'm no longer going to live as a Christian that's stuck in the grave. You know what a bird does that's been in prison for a long time? You can open the door and it probably, for a long time, will just sit there. The doors have been opened. Walk on out. Leave the grave clothes behind. He's risen. Father, we come before you today and we pray for the power and the moving of your Spirit in each and every one of our lives. Jesus, we confess that you are Lord, that you have died and that you have risen, and we repent of our old ways and we turn to faith in you. God, I pray that you touch each person's heart today with the reality and the truth of the resurrection. God, I just pray it won't be like a belief like the demons believe, but it would be a belief that changes and transforms from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. If God has ministered to your life, I urge you not to wait. I urge you not to wait. I want to invite you to come down and pray this morning, or you can see me on the way out the door and say, yes, I want to walk out of these grave clothes.